Good morning.
Good morning.
We're thankful this morning to be among the living. I hope you are too.
Amen.
I am very thankful to God for the services so far and for the brethren who have served with us in this service. We appreciate them so very much for their labors and also for those who have helped and assisted in getting everything prepared for our worship service. A lot goes on in preparation. A lot of guys in the sound room have to be here early and working. Cleaning has to be done. A lot of things has to be done for us to have a good worship service here on Sunday morning. A lot of people in the background. We appreciate you all so very much. And if you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, just know that you're a VIP of our audience, whether you're listening to us live stream or on Facebook or YouTube or you're here in the present. We do want you to know that in the churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. Amen? And every word of the Bible is right. And I believe that you're not here because you just come to have fun. You want to know what the Lord had to say for you today. What's the message from God? Amen. Amen. We're trying to get to heaven. You know, some folk didn't wake up this morning. Amen. But God allowed us to wake up. Is that right?
That's all right.
Yeah. And so God gave his son. His son died on the cross. And you got to believe that to be saved. You got to believe without ever being in Jerusalem or seeing anything Jesus did. You got to believe he hung on that cross for 6 hours and shed his blood. And what was the purpose of shedding that blood? To wash your sins away in baptism. You have no chance of getting to heaven without being baptized in water for remission of your sins. That's commanded by the Lord. Amen. It's commanded that you be baptized. How many of you have been baptized? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, you may have been baptized before, but you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Now, be careful. Now, you make sure you want to do it all right. Amen. There's one Lord. Amen. That's right, Jesus. One faith. That's the book. One God and Father of all who's above all. One body, which is his church. But one church. And the Bible said the Lord would add the saved to the church. So when a person is baptized, they're added to the church. And we have to ask in America which church it is. Well, how do we get the information? Well, we get the information about Jesus from. What the book called what? The Bible. And so we ought to be able to find the one church in the Bible we can find Jesus, don't you think? But Paul went on calling. He said, salute one another with a holy kiss. No, watch him now. He said, the churches of Christ, what? Salute you. Church of Christ all over this world. Amen. Now, the way you know it's the Church of Christ, by the teaching of the Bible. They sing, like this morning, what you're experiencing. New Testament pattern of worship, where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We will pray. Men will be leaders in the church. You'll have women up leading the church in the Church of Christ. No, they won't. Not in the Church of Christ. Now, women have their role. That's not inferiority thing. And men got the role to fight the wolf. Is that right? That's what we do. We fight the wolf. We protect the sisters. That's right, sister. We protect you. Amen. That's what God expects me to do that at home. Take care of my wife. I don't need her going to the door to get the wolf. I go get him. Same way God set up his church. Is that right?
That's right.
I'm just getting warmed up this morning. Feeling pretty good, too.
Right.
How y'all feeling?
Amen.
Feeling pretty good.
Right.
Take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And you're in church, you're not taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You're not in the right church.
That's right.
You're not on the right teaching. Mm-hmm. If somebody ought to be listening this morning, they want to be saved. And you got to do it the way God. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. That's a command. And here you are doing it once a month. Yeah, we do that every Sunday, not just once a month. Do it on the day of the resurrection. That's when you do it. So that's what we did this morning. Now, good to have a fellow soldier of the cross. And Brother Dave Williams, out of Dallas area. Where are you preaching at now, Brother Dave?
I'm at Glen Heights.
Glen Heights. It's Glen Heights down there with Clay and them still, huh?
Yeah.
Well, good to have you with us. Yeah, ain't always good. No, brother, when they're traveling, got a sound place to come worship. Is that right? Y'all make sure you greet him as well as our other visitors who are here with us this morning. Now, I've been studying from the Old Testament quite a bit lately. Is that right? Trying to build our faith and see some things that will help us in our lives. And this one in particular, we dealt with Moses last week and continue this week with Moses in Exodus. The purpose of this lesson, which I entitled, Who Are You, in the form of a question. It's set in the form of a question because I want all of us listening, the listeners, and I've had to examine as I studied, so you'll get to listen to it as well. And you have to really go deep within yourself to understand who you are. Or maybe you don't understand who you are. You have a potential to be something you don't know you can. A potential that's within you that's lying dormant that hasn't been exposed. And so only God knows what that potential is. And so here's the main point. Each of us can look at ourselves and present a certain perspective to the others looking on. You know, God don't look at the heart. I mean, don't look at outward appearance. 1 Samuel 16, 7. He look at the heart. So God don't see Tommy Brooks like you see Tommy Brooks. That's not, he don't see that. God see my mind, my thinking. And that's the real you. We can present a perspective to others that we're something we're not. Y'all with me? And so when it's that, sometimes you don't know who you are. But God truly know who you are. God wants your best, right? Mm-hmm. He don't want leftovers. God wants the best from us. And God know we have the potential to give him our best. But it comes down to desire. You know, but you can desire to do something, or you can desire not to do something. Now, with that being said, we can lead ourselves to be deceived as well. Be deceived to be a person that we're presenting to you, and we start believing that ourselves, that we are that person. You can present yourself as a holy Christian. Now, you start believing you really are, knowing you ain't acting right. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You can be deceptive. You can be deceived in yourself. The Bible teaches us that. But because we refuse to look into the mirror, and the mirror is the word of God. And if you refuse to look in the mirror, then you'll have an image of you that the mirror would tell you differently, that you're not what you say you are. You're not acting like a Christian. You want to be saved, but you don't act like you want to be saved. You want other people to help you be saved, but you don't want to be saved yourself. You just want to talk about the people who don't help you to be saved as if they're wrong, when your problem is you, not the people. Preach, brother. Now, you ain't got to say, man. Some of this stuff is it's come right down to who you really are. Who you really are on the inside. There's a lot of fake people in the world. Mm-hmm. Fake Christians. Jesus called them hypocrites. Acting like they all this and that in a bag of chips. That's an old saying they say. Now, God knows you. And here's the thing about it. God knows about that which will hinder you from being what you can be for his cause. That's why we're talking about seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Now, this takes evaluation of self. Now, some of this looking in the mirror stuff and stuff I reference in my book, for some of you don't know it, looking at the man in the mirror, maybe you're listening out there. That was a book online. Go online. I talk about this in a different way than I'm going to talk about it today in that book, the book of James, study. And then the man in the background, where you really want to be like Christ, you got to look at what was his character like? Was he meek? Was he humble? Was he loving? Was he forgiving? What was Christ like? Are you meek? Are you humble? Are you loving? Are you forgiving? You see, so you got this, you got a image presented, but it ain't you. So let's take a look at Moses with these thoughts in mind and taking this lesson from the angle I'm going to take it, which is a different angle from most people probably take, don't take it from the same. But I'm going to take it from the angle of this question, who are you anyway? And in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 9, that's where we was at last week. Now, the Bible says in verse 9, now therefore,
behold, cry of the children of Israel is coming to me.
Yeah.
And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians have oppressed them.
Uh-huh.
Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And there mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
He's talking to Moses.
And Moses said unto God.
Now, so Moses responds.
Who am I?
Now, there's a question. See, God told him to go do something. His question was, who am I? I mean, who here have asked that question? Who am I to who? He must be saying, who am I to do this job, and why are you asking me to do it? You follow what I'm saying? And listen what the book say now. He said, who am I that I should go?
unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee.
Right.
And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee.
When
thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon his mountain.
Yeah.
And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?
Moses said, God said to Moses, I am.
I am that I am.
There it is, the great I am right there. So who's talking to Moses? The great I am. Who knows Moses? The great I am. Who don't know Moses? Moses. He asked the question. If he knew what God knew, he wouldn't ask the question, who am I? See, and that's the problem with people in the church. And you know, I'm 62 now. You know, you go through a whole lot of stuff. I've been preaching 36 years. I've seen a whole lot of stuff. Got a lot of devils. They present themselves as Christians. They're devils. Hey, let's call it like a spade is. Here's the thing. You can't be in the middle and get to heaven. This is a reality. You can't ride the fence between God and the devil. Amen, somebody. Right? Y'all with me on this one?
Yes, sir.
You can present God and be the devil.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's the thing. Moses didn't know who he was. God going to help him identify himself. I'm going to make some application for us as well. Listen, go to chapter 4 now in verse 1. And Moses answered and said,
But behold, they will not believe
me. Yeah, no folk going to believe me.
Nor hearken unto my voice.
Yeah, now these are his doubts. They're not going to listen to me or my words.
For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
Moses is struggling. He can't see why him. He can't see his potential. He don't even believe that people are going to listen or believe anything he has to say. And maybe this you. This message is for that person in the audience today or listening on live stream. Maybe you have not been listening to God. God told him to go. Maybe you have not been listening to God. He's calling you to a service. Amen. And maybe you today is your time to say, to yourself, I need to answer the call. I need to answer the call, but to answer the call, I got to know who I am. Right? So listen to this. And the Lord said to him,
what is that thy hand?
What's in your hand? Now he had a staff, a rod. And he said, a rod.
And cast it unto the ground.
Now, here's how you start to identify who you are. Here it is. What's in your hand that can help you? You got your Bible in your hand? Raise it up. It can be on your phone. I know you got the tablets in the phone. You got the book. So you got what he had. You got the rod that will cause people to believe. Moses had a rod. Now notice he says now, and he said, cast it. God tell him, take the rod, cast it on the ground.
And he cast it on the ground.
And it became a
serpent.
And Moses did what?
Fled from the board.
Moses got the rod. He knew it was a rod. But when he threw it on the ground, he saw a what?
Serpent.
A serpent, which is a
snake.
Snake. And if somebody says snake, I'm going to jump high and run. How many of y'all going to run? Somebody says snake. Oh, God. Oh, right? How many of y'all scared of snakes? That's some creepy looking things, man. I tell you. It'll cause you to run. You'll hurt yourself getting away from a snake. But let me ask you a question now. How many of you running from God? See, that was God's action. And so, are you running from, who in here don't know you what you're doing? You're running from serving. How many of you are running from being a teacher in the Lord's church? Oh, I can't teach the Bible. Well, have you tried to teach the Bible? Have you gone to school? You can teach math. You're a math teacher. but you can't teach the Bible. You can teach kids at school, but you can't teach children at the church. You're running. Yes, sir. How many of you are running from being an elder? You're running from being an elder. You don't want what come with it. You're running from being a deacon. Amen, somebody. Yeah. You're running from leading one of these ministries I done put out here. I sent a text out to brother yesterday. One responded. I'm telling it. So, brother, why you do that? Because they brother need to learn. At least say, I got it, but I don't want to do it. That would be courteous, wouldn't it? Now, maybe you're running from too much responsibility at the church. Now, on your job, you top notch, high performer, best employee, on time all the time. At the church, always late, worst servant, always on the pew, never use the full potential. Why? Are you running? You fleeing like Moses? You fleeing? You don't want to go? You don't want to do this? How many of you are running from being a preacher? What about a sister who are you running from being the elder? Why? I don't ever want to be a preacher's wife. Now your husband don't want to be a preacher because he don't have a wife to want him to be a preacher. How many wives have encouraged your husband to step up at all times? How many of you have sat back and watched them sit? You haven't said anything to him. You need to step up and help Brother Brooks. Well, he needs a fiduciary. Why we only got four or five names in? Where are these brothers at? Where you at? Now, where you running from? When you going to give God your best? Amen, somebody. I ain't taking none of this back either. Yeah, we need it. What you running from? We got four ministries. How many of you going to step up and lead? Brother Stroud going to ask today. We need to meet Thursday with leaders up that want to lead these ministries. We'll see. We'll see who's afraid. We'll see who's going to run. Amen. All right. I'll be some wives that say some good things to your husband. Baby, girl, you need to do this in you. It's in you. I had a text from a sister that told her husband, it's in you, and he shared it with me, and I'm here to support whatever you want, and that was an encouraging text, and I'm not going to tell you who, because I know everybody, who that? Well, I'll tell you if I want you. I'm not going to tell you. But he sent that share. But if she listens, she know who I'm talking about. What are you saying, brother? That's a woman who's trying to help get her husband to heaven. She know his potential. Amen. But do he know it? Is the question. Do you know your potential as a wife? Your potential to help your family get to heaven. To help your husband be the best he can. To be the best sister in the church. What's your potential, sis? Who are you? Maybe you're one of the brothers sitting on the pew right now, running from serving. Man, I don't get up there in front of all them people. Read. We got it where you can read. On the job, you got 30 employees. Stand up and read in front of them. At the church, you're afraid. I mean, what are you afraid of? I mean, why are you on the pew every Sunday? Why are you not working around the church? Why are you not a song leader? You say you can sing? Then be a song leader. What are you afraid of? Well, you know, I don't want people to look at me funny. Well, people going to look at you funny anyway. Right. Amen. Praise my name of Jesus. Right. If I thought trying to lead a song up here, people look at me funny. It's funny, but I know Sister Hill gonna raise her voice a little above mine. Help me out. That right there. Make him sound, bro. We gonna help Brother Brooker. He can't sing or nothing. But I get up, I try. I can't sing. Can't sing a lick. But I got some folk that will try to drown me out, but just make me look good. Right. Praise God. You good? That's some good preaching right there. My brother sit down on a pew. You pray. You know you're afraid to get up here. But I was telling my brother, I'll tell you about your first time. He stood up. And you can get nervous before. He said, Jesus wept and went sit down. That's the only verse. He said enough right there. Uh-huh. You talk about everything, but you can't pray for God, to God, for his people. Huh? You can't lead communion. You can't read the scripture. You're going to always be a pew sitter. What is your potential? Do you have the ability to read? Do you have glasses? Is that you don't know who you are and your full potential. Well, you say you don't know. Obviously, Moses had this same situation. But I'm just bringing it to us. Now, some of you just like old Jonah on the run, right? He was a fugitive. Jonah was running from doing God, end up in the belly of fish. You might end up somewhere you don't want to be. Man, how many of you, your brother, you know you got the ability to be a preacher. You're running from preaching. Some of them afraid to sit right here and read the scripture for me. Oh, I don't want to read Brother Brooks. Why? Well, learn how to read for Brother Brooks. That'll help you learn scripture. Yeah. And y'all shouldn't have to quote everything. Let them read it. Y'all quiet. I got these brother quiet. I'm whooping them, man. See, brother, I'm like, well, don't worry about it. I'm going to get your sisters too. Mm-hmm. I don't leave them out because a good man come with a good wife. That's what it say. Mm-hmm. Behind every good man is a good. Y'all sisters can say it. But that might not be the case. See, there's some good men don't have no good wives behind them. Because if the good wife behind him, she help him see the good in him. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And he wouldn't be sitting by you qualified to be an elder, but he won't step it up. Mm. Let's go back to Moses. They tired me on that one, John. Let's move on. Mm. Let's go back. I got a little bit more I want to talk about. He said, listen to God's response to Moses.
And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand.
Now, so God said to Moses, here's what I need you to do next. Put your hand in there.
And take it by the tail.
Take that snake by the tail.
And he put forth his hand.
Stop running. Stop fleeing. Go back to the snake. Go back, stop running and do what God tell you. That's the message. Throw it on the ground. He didn't tell him to run. He said, go back and pick it up now. Stop running. When you go pick your Bible up and stop running. Come on. We need men who will stand up. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. Yes, pick the rod up. And guess what happened? When he picked it back up, it became a rod in his hand.
That they may believe
in
the
reason,
Lord.
God said, do it so they're going to believe that I'm the one that sent you, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of who?
Jacob.
Okay, now, maybe you need to take the snake by the tail and believe in God more than the snake. Now, this is an application, like you're an awesome worker on your job. You're good at what you do. How many of y'all feel like you're good at what you do on your job? Accolades, right? Bonuses, incentive pays. Are you getting those? That means you're exceptional, right? Employee. Y'all ain't gonna answer these questions because now you know it's gonna boomerang, right? You know, some folk that are good on their job, they ain't gonna answer this question because they already know that here, the status is different among the church. Okay. Maybe it's because you get a check. There is an instant reward for doing it now. Mm-hmm. See, but what we're fighting for comes from suffering.
Yes, sir.
It comes from persecution. It requires being a student of the Bible, learning the Bible. You can't be a good preacher, elder, deacon, unless you know your Bible. Amen. But you won't put together. You go to school 12 years to get your high school education and go back to college and do all that. But when it comes to becoming a Bible student, you got an F. Why is that? Maybe the snake is the devil, and God, all God wants you to do is pick it back up and start dealing with it. Whatever's causing you to flee, stop running and give God a try. Give God a try. How long you been on the pew? This is a good question. How long you been sitting there, brother? Then furthermore, I'm talking to brother more so because God was talking to leadership. He was talking to Moses, right? But he's going to talk about the people who are going to listen to you too. Here, listen what he said. And the Lord said what?
Furthermore unto him.
Now, furthermore, he said, man, look here. I'm going to say more to you than that.
Put thy hand into thy bosom.
Now, I'm going to give you something now. Put your hand inside your bosom.
And he put his hand into his bosom.
Right?
And when he took it out, behold, his
hand
was
leprous. He took the hand out. He said, behold what?
His hand was leprous as snow.
Okay.
And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again.
Now, the key word is again.
And he put his hand into his bosom again. And he plucked it out his bosom. Uh-huh. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh.
Now, let me furthermore make another application with this. Maybe there's someone listening or here today that got to take the first move. You got to be baptized. You got to put your hand in the bosom and be washed. You follow what I'm saying? You got to take the first move, be baptized, and to clean up that leprosy skin, that sin. Baptism is for the remission of sin. See, you can't ever be where God wants you to be until you become obedient to God. So if you're here today, you say, Brother Booker, I want to be more than I've been. But well, your first step is getting baptized for the remission of sin. You say, I don't know about what it's all about baptism. Well, then I'm going to have a class right after worship called the VIP class. Come on in there. It will take me 30 minutes to show you more information. If you're looking to be saved, you can be saved. But you got to put your hand in the bosom of God first.
Man.
What did God say? Put your hand in the bosom. And then, for members of the Church of Christ, you know you've been in the church a long time and still going to lose your soul. You've been hearing sermons like this forever. You done left the Lord. You've in and out of the church. Amen. All right. You need to be restored. Mm-hmm. You're a prodigal son. You know you are. You have not been studious. You have not lived the life God told you to live. You are not living it now. But you can come back again. See, you've been baptized, but you can come back to the Lord again. You need to come home. Amen, church. You need to repent. Ain't nobody saying amen anymore. Why? This is a brother or sister in Christ, and you maybe most of you know, maybe it's you I'm talking about. You haven't repented. You haven't made a confession. You haven't asked God to forgive you. You need to come back again and get right with God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Talk to me, church. Am I right or wrong? You're right about it, Brother Brooks.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's happening. We need people. Maybe you see yourself. You say, well, Brother Brooks, I don't know who I am. I think I'm a backslider. Maybe I'm caught up in alcoholism. I'm caught up on drugs. I'm failing in my marriage. I'm failing in my home. I'm failing on the job. I'm doing a whole lot of things. What is the problem? Well, the problem is you did backslide. The problem is you are prodigal. You got to know who you are. You are lost. You lost, sis. You're lost, brother. But you can put your hand back in the bosom again and come back to God.
Right.
Preach, Brother Brooks. I am.
All right, brother.
You know what's going on in the Church of Christ? Too many prodigals. People done left the truth. Running around testing everything. Need to sit down somewhere. Find you a sound congregation and sit down.
Yes, sir.
Be church hopping. Here a congregation this week, another one next week, this one. Ain't growing. Just looking at everything going on. Who are you?
Quiet, Holland Heights. Maybe you can't answer that question. Who are you? Listen what happened to Moses, verse 8. It shall come to pass they will not believe.
Neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign.
Now God takes it from Moses. Talking to him and said, the people, listen, maybe when you do the rod thing and you do the hand thing in your bosom, maybe they won't believe it. Now, this is what I'm talking about you. See, I'm talking to you now. And maybe you don't believe me. Maybe you don't believe what I'm saying. Maybe you don't believe it. And that's the problem that people don't believe. When people don't believe, they're going to be in some whole lot of trouble. But see, here's what God said here. Okay, here's what I want you to do.
And it should come to pass.
Now, I want you to do this, Moses.
If they will not believe now, also these two signs.
They these first two, the snake and the hand.
Neither hearken unto thy voice.
Some of them ain't going to buy that one.
That thou shalt take of the water.
Now, here's
river.
What I want you to do. Let's go a little further with this thing. Something that's going to be more amazing. You take the water from the river.
And pour it into a dry land.
And then you take water and pour it on dry land.
And the water which thou.
It should absorb, right? Right.
And the water without okay. Just take it into the
now,
river.
God said, I want to make them. I'm going to put the water on the dry land. And Moses, and what I want you to do,
put it on the dry land, and with the water, when the water which thou takest out of the river, it's going to change. It's going to become what?
Blood. On the dry land.
Hey, let me make an application from this one. And this is called, let me make this application from this verse, this a present day application for us. Maybe there's somebody on the conference call or on watching me on Facebook or YouTube or sitting here now that God done gave you a whole bunch of signs and now he done gave you a blood sign. Come on. You say, what, Brother Brooke? Maybe you almost got killed, but you lived. I don't think we want blood signs. He gave some other signs that should have got us. But then God said, I can send some blood signs. And let me just say, maybe you're in the audience today. You know you only by the grace of God you made it through that shooting, that robbery, that car wreck. Only by the grace of God is your cancer in remission. Blood sign. Maybe you have a severe illness that can turn terminal on you at any time, and you just got the report. I don't know who hearing this, but it could be somebody in the hospital looking at me saying, I had to get the blood sign, Brother Bruce. Yeah, you got the blood sign. What about bad doctor report? Devastating loss of something you wasn't ready for. It. You lost your mama. You lost your daddy. You lost your child. You lost your husband. You lost your wife. Now you're in this depressed state and grieving. But how many signs had God given you before this came on you? Are you listening and looking for the signs? Maybe you're filled with sorrow. I talk about depression can make you do some things. You do things. You take your life. People can take their life because they're so depressed, huh? Something can happen. Marriage is falling apart. Everything in your life. Every time you take one step forward, you have to take two backward. Seem like you're not getting nowhere in life. Like the old woman on the rocking chair, just doing like a lot of motion, ain't going nowhere. What is God? Now, I always tell my children that one thing about me, I said, I hope it don't take for you what it took for me. Yes, sir. I had to see my little brother in a coffin at the age of 24 for me to make a change and start trying to get my life right with God. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I am not perfect, never have been perfect, but one thing I can say, I've never left the church. I never left God. I have held on to him during the good times, during the bad times. In the valley, I held on the mountain, I held on to him. I never gave up. I hope and pray I never leave. If I leave the church of Christ, if I leave the church, I'm going to tell you right now, it's because my mind is going bad. Now, how much do you believe that this book's right or wrong? I believe it's right and every word of it right. And I dare not go along with folk who change, add to it. I don't care what they say about me. I'm trying to get to heaven. And I know to get to heaven, I got to line up with the scripture.
Man.
Now, so are we talking about people who God is working in your life and there's some blood signs that come your way? So is it possible you've been missing the signs or just don't believe the signs? What is God going to have to do? See, now here's this. God was responding to the people that would be listening to Moses. And I'm speaking to you today. But let me say this to you. No one can save you until you want to save yourself. Amen. You can blame me. You can blame Stroud. You can blame the church. You can blame the members. You can blame everybody else. But until you want to be saved. Doesn't matter what other folk do. Now, when you want to be saved, people can help you do what you got to do.
But if you don't want to be saved, ain't nothing that person can say or do, because you don't want it. I have a question. Who are you? Are you a believer? In closing, listen to Moses, his lack of knowledge about himself. He didn't know his potential. Moses said to the Lord,
"Oh, my Lord,
I am not
eloquent, neither heretofore."
I can't speak very well. I just put it in country terms. When eloquent means, you know, I don't have a fancy way of talking. Right. You know, that's about like, brother, I don't consider myself eloquent. I'm just as country as I can be. And I mess up a word. That's why I had to have Lula to help me writing, because I talk like where I was born. Hemp Hill, tell you. Y'all know what Hemp Hill is, don't you? We say, yes, sir. Down here, we don't say yes, sir. We say yes, sir. Yes, sir. We say ain't. I reckon. No ring. No people from North. What is no ring? What kind of woman is that? No, that's just the same thing saying no reason. No reason your hair, you bald headed. I'm bald headed. Y'all notice I'm bald headed now? No ring. Now, what are you saying, brother? I'm not eloquent. You don't have to be eloquent to do the work of the Lord. He said, and God deals with him. He said, I'm not eloquent. He said, what?
Neither heretofore, nor since thou
before
hast spoken
you told
to
me
servant.
This, since you telling me this,
but
I'm still
slow in speech.
I'm slow. To speak,
and of a slow tongue.
I'm slow of tongue. Now, sometimes that's a good thing. Not sometimes y'all be quiet. Amen. Stand still. You know, sometimes when folk shooting at you, the best thing to do is don't say nothing. You know, they call back where I grew up, they said, you can't argue with a stop sign. Why? It don't talk back. And sometimes when people are in these modes, they want to argue and give you a piece of their mind, let them give you a piece of their mind and be quiet. Mm-hmm. They feel better, they got it off. They're looking for the opportunity to retaliate, to get a back and forth going. That's called an argument. How do you avoid arguments? Be quiet.
Sorry.
Now, he said, I can't do this. And then verse 11, he said, the Lord said to him, who made your mind?
Or make it the dumb.
Now I'm gonna help you see what I see. Who put that mouth on you, Moses? Who called people that can't hear the deaf?
The
or who called people to see? Who caused people to be blind?
He said, "That is me." And
me that did that. Moses got to be thinking now. Therefore, now since you know I did all that, you go. I'm gonna be with your what?
Mouth.
I'm gonna be with your mouth.
And teach thee what thou shalt say.
So anyone here fear knowing who you are, know this. Without God, life is meaningless. Mm-hmm. So without God, he couldn't accomplish none of this. That's also in one of my books, Life Without God. But listen to Jesus in Mark 10:27. I'm closing now. Mark 10:27. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus looking unto them said, with men it is what?
Impossible.
Mark 10:27. Go there, get that. I want everybody to read it for me. I'm getting close to ending. He said,
and Jesus,
yeah,
looking upon them said.
Now watch what he said.
With men.
With who?
With men.
Now are we just men and women? Mm-hmm. To accomplish the work of the Lord, you got to first know you just a man. You just a woman. You just mankind. But with God, but not with God.
But not with God.
But with God, what?
All things
are what?
Are possible.
Say it with me. All things are possible with who?
God.
Man? With God. Now, so here's the question. Or do you realize you're just a man? Are you running from God? Are you running from serving? The problem Moses was focusing on his ability without including God. Now, if you include God, can you be a teacher? Yes or no? Can you be a preacher? Yes or no? I'm asking questions. Can you be with God? Can you be a deacon? Can you be a ministry leader? Can you be a wife who supports her husband? Can you be a teacher? Can you be anything you want to be? With God, all things are possible. But you don't know who you are.
Still, that brother gonna sit. You've been hearing these sermons a long time. You're gonna be the same pew sitter. And by the way, church know who the pew sitters are. Yeah, brother, now why he don't never do nothing? Father, they know. Everybody know. Everybody know. Let me give y'all a story. Y'all like stories? Close the story. I like stories. There was a man. It's a story about an alcoholic. Any alcoholics in there? They wouldn't alcoholic wouldn't answer that question, would he? No, sir. Not right now, would he? He might though. Might be his day. See? He might do it. Never know. There was a man who was an alcoholic. And because he was an alcoholic, he lost his wife and never got to know his son. But one day he was drunk, you know, and his conscience started bothering him that he didn't know nothing about his son. So he pulled back up to his ex-wife's house. And she said, "What are you doing here? I want to see my son. I want to see my son." She said, "No, you just get on away. You ain't been here for him." He said, "I want to see my son." And he was belligerent. He came in and started arguing. "You going to let me see my son?" So the son come down the stairs. "What are you doing? Who is this? What are you doing?" And he said, "Son, I love you, son." And the son pushed him back. He said, "Get away from me. You are nothing but a drunk. That's all you are, a drunk." And the father said, "You don't know me." He said, "But who are you then? Who are you standing in front of me?" Well, the father, of course, was driving drunk. And he swerved over in another lane and caused a car with six people in it to wreck. He pulled over. The car caught on fire. He pulled over and went back. And then when he got back, he rescued four other people. And the driver that driver died, another passenger died. Well, the people who came to the scene called him a hero because he saved four lives. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so he was deemed a hero. But because he was there at the scene, and he told them that the man came over inside, he moved. And they swerved and wrecked. He lied. They went ahead and did a blood test on him anyway. Now the blood test came back that came back that his blood level, alcohol level, was too high to be driving. But you know, he got one of them crooked lawyers. And the crooked lawyer, he doctored that report. And he said, "Look here, we got it fixed. So what's gonna happen when you get to court? Just say you were not drunk and blame the other driver in the other car." Now he know going in that he can be a hero in the eyes of the people. If the truth is told, he going to prison. So if he got into court and he had a good lawyer question him, "Sir, were you drinking? Sir, I'm asking you again, were you drunk?" And he looked at the jurors, and he looked around, and he looked at the audience, and he looked at the people. And she says, "Sir, I'm going to ask you for the third time, were you drunk?" And he dropped his head. And he said, "Yes! I was drunk then, and I'm drunk now. Because I'm an alcoholic." And he started crying. He dared not blame that other man. Finally, he admitted. He got sent to prison. When he got to prison, he told the other prisoner, "The day I told the truth, the day I saw myself, the day I admitted was the day I felt freed." And from there, he started meeting with other people. And he started helping other folk. And he started writing his son. He kept writing them. He had the pictures in his cell. And he kept writing his son, getting no replies. And then one day,
They knocked on the jail cell. He said, "You have a visitor, sir." And he walked out. And he saw him from a distance. It was his son. And he ran to his son. And he put his arm around and embraced him. He said, "Son, have you been getting my letters?" He said, "Yes, sir. I've been getting your letter. And I'm in college now. And I have to write an article. And my instructor told me I needed an article to pass the class. And so, sir, I need your help." He said, "Son, I'll do anything to help you." He said, "I'm going to title this article, The Most Amazing Man I Never Knew." And he turned his mic, he took the recorder, and he put it in front of him. He said, "Who are you?" And his father said, "That's a good question that I can answer." The moral of the story is this. Until we are free, until one is free, you can admit you're nothing without God. You're not going to ever be as good as you can be until you admit it. You're not going to be useful to God until you admit you can't do it without him. But in the eyesight of God, you have more opportunities and more. God, see, he see the good in all of us. He know there's something in you that can be used. Amen, somebody. God sent his only son to give us the freedom, to free us from sin so we can be the best we can be for him and his kingdom. Am I right about it? God done his part. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, Acts 19, verse 11, this is the last verse I'm going to. I need to go here real quick. God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. This is seven sons of Sceva, so that from his body were brought unto him sick handkerchiefs. Or apron, verse 12.
And the disease departed from them.
Notice this. The evil spirit went out of them. Watch what happened.
Then certain of the vagabond Jews. Exorcists.
It was actually took upon them.
Call over the, of them which the evil hand had spirits.
Evil spirit in the name of the Lord saying, "We adjure you by Jesus."
Whom Paul preaches.
So they approached the evil spirit. And so there were seven men. There were seven sons of Sceva. A Jew and the chief of the priest. These were his boys.
Which did so.
And the evil spirit did this.
Said.
Evil spirit, they said, they trying to exorcise the devil out of somebody. And the evil spirit came to them, seven boys. He said, "Now look here, let me ask you a question." He said, I'm going to tell you who I do know. Jesus.
I know.
I know him.
And Paul, I know.
Yeah, I can't touch him. That's God's only son. See what I'm saying? Paul, I know. Paul had a relationship with God. So the evil spirit knows when you're okay with God. You follow me? But then he asked him a question. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. And the devil don't talk now. He ain't got no sweet boy. But who are you? You know what I'm saying? The devil is saying to the guys and women that are listening to me, you don't have God and the devil don't respect you. Don't try to come at me without God. Who you think you are? You are nothing but a man. You don't have what Paul had. You don't have what Jesus had. So who are you? And that evil spirit, the Bible says that man, that one evil spirit, in verse 16, you see that one evil spirit whooped seven of them rascals. Overcame them. Nowhere. They fled out of the house naked and wounded. See, when you start dealing with the devil, he'll strip you of everything you got. You won't have nothing left. But here's the thing about it. You got something. You can answer the call. God is calling you. He wants you to come. Do you know who you are? Are you ready to be his child? Do you want to be his child? How can I be his child, Brother Brooks? By believing in the gospel. What is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It's the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Am I right about it?
Amen.
God, John 3:16, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God did send his son into the world, not to condemn it, but that the world through his son might be saved. Am I right about it? His son stood before Pilate, Caiaphas, Herod, all the people. And they whipped him with a whip. Amen. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Led him to Calvary. Drove nails in his hands and his feet. Why did he stay on the cross? Why did he shed the blood? So you can be free. Remember the alcoholic? He had to admit. You will never be your full potential until you admit that your relationship with God has separated you from him because of sin. Isaiah 59:1-2. But you don't have to leave like that today. You can believe he died. How many of y'all believe he died?
Amen.
Believe that he was buried. How many believe he was buried?
Amen.
Do you believe he rose again on the third day with all power? Yeah, he gave the command, Mark 16:15-16. Go into the world, preach it, Brooks. Preach the gospel. Tell them I died on the cross. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. That's what he said. They shall be free. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You come running down the aisle. Brother, I want to be all I can be for the Lord. I'm coming to get my body to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of my sins. Acts 2:38. Is there somebody here today that want to come be born again of the water and of the Spirit? You got to hear that gospel story I just told. Number one, Acts 15:7. Believe it too. Same verse. Repent, Luke 13:3. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, if you don't stop doing what you're doing, you're going to perish. Then you must be willing to have the courage to stand in front of people and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And right after that, we're going to baptize you as commanded by our Lord. The water is ready. Clothes are ready. We got angels on standby. We got everything you need. You just got to have the courage and the desire to be all you can be for the cause.
Amen.
Amen. It's Jesus that's calling you, isn't he? Yeah. Who's calling this morning? Jesus. He said, I stand at your door and knock. I need to come in and let you help you be all you want to be. But you're going to have to open the door for me. It's your decision. Be all you can be. Who are you? Who are you? Nothing without God. That's the answer to the question. But with God, you can be anything you want to be. Because God said, I made you, Mom. Brother Ellison, I made you. I did that. I did. Two people I'm appealing to, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, we want you to become a member of the one church today.
Amen.
By being baptized. Don't put it off now. Remember the blood sign? God might be right there. And maybe you already done got it. You know I'm talking to you. And you're going to leave again? You left several times not being baptized. Remember, you might not come back. You may not listen to this sermon again. You may not get to watch Facebook no more, YouTube, or get on the conference call. You may not be physically able to dial a number no more. But you can't say you wasn't given a chance because you got it right now. If you're a member of the church, you need to repent and come on. You come down here and make your confession and ask God to forgive you so you can get your life right with God and then be the best you can be for the cause of Christ. Stop running. Stop running and let the Lord help you be all you can be. Am I right about it? Who are you appealing to, Brother Brooke? Non-members, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, those who are members of the Lord Church, come home. Jesus is calling you back to him. Put your hand back in your bosom again, in God's bosom, and put your life in his hand, and God can bless you. That's a good sermon. That's a good lesson. And it's yours. It's for the listening audience. As we together stand and sing the song of encouragement, we ask you to come. Walk to the front. Hit 5-star on your phone. Let us know how we can help you as it pertains to saving of your soul. May God bless you as we come.